Well, well, well. Greetings, church. How y'all doing? Come on, let's give God a big hand. I'm excited about him today. I hope you are too. Wow. So good to be with you. So good to be here. It was a while back. I was. It was a typical Saturday. I was doing running some errands around Monroeville, and I ended up at a place called Giant Eagle, and I was there. And it was summer, and it had the smells of summer, cheeseburgers and hot dogs. Come on, somebody. And as I was smelling the cheeseburgers and hot dogs, and I thought, wow, it's going to be a good day. Come on. And as I got closer, I said, oh, it's a fundraiser. And then I realized it was a fundraiser, and the sign said, for the American Heart Association. Now, I don't know if you find that ironic, but the American Heart Association selling cheeseburgers and hot dogs, I think they forgot their mission and vision. Or else it's job security. I'm not sure which it is. Come on. I'm not sure which it is. But, you know, I'm thinking about, like, the church, us. Sometimes it's easy to forget what we're supposed to be serving. You know, like, what's a Starbucks without coffee, or a Dunkin' without donuts, or a Chick-fil-A without chicken or my pleasure? What are we serving here? And I know what the right answer is. Everybody together says Jesus. But what does that really mean? And what does it mean to serve? What does it mean to serve up Jesus? What does it mean to really be like that, we serve God? And what is it that we're really doing here? I think that's the question. And so today I want to share with you what it means to be a child of God, and how do we really become children of God? How do we really become children of God? And I don't know if you know this or not, but right here, right in this place, Bridge City Church White Oak is an adoption agency. Yeah, it's an adoption agency that God created. Now, we have three offices around Pittsburgh, one in Brighton Heights, one in North Braddock, and one right here in White Oak. But there's a lot of adoption agencies, and it's Jesus' church. So we just got to figure out and maybe be just reminded today of what it means to become a child of God. Now, I don't know about you with your relationship with God, but how many of you have ever heard the poem, you know, Footprints in the Sand? Have you ever heard that? Like, there's footprints in the sand here, and then there's two footprints, and then in the hard times, Jesus carrying me. How many of y'all, that's just beautiful. How many is that really nice, you know? Not my hard times, Jesus carrying me. And you're like, that's wonderful. See, I don't know about you, but in my life, being a follower of Jesus, it looks more like this. This is Jesus dragging me. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all can relate to the Jesus dragging me time? Yeah, that's it. But how many of you know you're going to go one way or another, but it's going to go. He can either carry you or he's going to drag you, but you're going to go in Jesus' name. Come on. And that's, sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it feels that way here. But how do we become? And so I'm going to take you on a journey, a little story today about Natalie and I's story when it comes to adoption and how it rocked our lives and changed our lives forever. But also, I don't know if you know this or not, it changed our church dramatically. It really, really changed our church significantly over time. And I want to share that story with you. So I'm going to start, though, with the Word of God. I'm going to read you four verses, communicate the Word of God, and then I'm going to launch from the Word of God and tell you how it happens. Are y'all good? Yes. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans here, and he states, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." So here we find, if we want to be children of God, we're going to need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. That communicates real clear here. "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves." Come on. "Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own." Has his own. "And now we call him Abba Father." That really means daddy. We call him daddy. He's not just a father in heaven. He's not God. You know, like those big words. He's daddy. I don't know if you can call him daddy, But man, that's one of the most powerful words. When we reach up my, see, when I'm worshiping God every now and then, I just think of myself as reaching up to heaven and saying, hey, Dad. And he always, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't even matter if it's your kid. Come on. When somebody reaches up their hands, you reach down, don't you? Come on. You know, no, just don't do that in Giant Eagle. Come on, just don't do that if it's not your kid. Okay, but you reach down, and it's daddy here. And this word children here, see, there's different words used for children. It's imitating the father. It's sharing in the nature and likeness of the father. So when the Apostle Paul is talking about children here, he's talking about imitating the father, sharing the same nature and likeness of God. We share the same likeness and nature of God. I think that's really cool news. Now, really, the other thing about this word here, this word children down here, is it's legally accepted. I don't know if you know this, but when we became children of God, there was something legal. There was very legal terms used in this terminology, and I want to unfold this for you and what this means here. So we're learning how to imitate the likeness and nature of God. How many of y'all are still learning that today? Come on, I'm still learning. I'm still learning. After all these years, I'm still learning. I have my struggles, but I'm learning every day. Now let's go on and read the next couple verses here. For his spirit joins with our spirit and affirms that we are God's. Okay? And since we are his, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. I think that's pretty cool. We have an inheritance. We have a promise, and it's the Spirit of God. We have an inheritance. Now, you don't choose your inheritance. Your inheritance is chosen for you. And so we're all realizing our inheritance in Christ. Now, this word for children, a little different. See, there's different Greek words. The New Testament, it's in Greek, and there's different words here. This one is birth-oriented, completely dependent, and submitted to God. So when we come to Christ, we're learning how to be dependent and submitted to God. How many of you are still learning that one? Come on. Yeah. See, and it's a trust relationship. You got to catch that. It's trust. I'm learning to trust God. So when I come to him, I'm learning. I'm in the position of a son, but then I'm learning how to imitate the father. This is the story of all of our lives here. This is the story of us. So there's people in this room today. You haven't been adopted yet. You've been around Christianity. You've been in church, but you really haven't been adopted fully into his kingdom. There's some people here, you've been adopted, and you're learning how to be dependent on him. And there's others that are learning how to imitate the Father. See, there's growth steps in all of our lives. And as an adoption agency, we're all about this growth and about this process that God has for us. Okay, let me take you on a journey. You ready to go on a journey? How many of y'all know that Christianity is not a destination, it's a direction? Yes. Heaven's a destination. Right. But Christianity is not a destination. It's not like, oh, I've arrived, I'm a Christian now. No, it's a direction that we're going, not a destination that we're in. Right. When we die and we go to heaven, that's the destination I'm looking for. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be so cool. Okay, 1991, there was this really super cool family, had three kids. And we were at Lake Erie right here. Look at this wonderful family here. And this was us at Lake Erie. Life was good. I was the pastor here at this church. Life was good. No real issues going on. Church was great. I was the lead pastor at that point, about two years right in there. It was right here on this beach here, Kelso Beach. I brought up to my wife, Natalie. I said, hey, we always talked about adopting children. What do you think about now's a good time to adopt some children? Now, these three are natural children. Okay, these three are like ours. They're all ours now. But these three were natural. We didn't have the other two yet. And for 2 days on vacation, Natalie did not speak to me. Now, for those of you that are taking notes, when your wife does not speak to you for 2 days, that's usually not good. Just a thought. But because I'm saying this very fondly about her, she hears God and she obeys God. Guys that aren't married out there, finds you a woman that hears and obeys God. And if she has nice legs, that's a bonus, but that's a different message. Come on, somebody. She's in the back right now serving. I'm worried about my PowerPoint the rest of the time right now, but yeah, that red dot, yeah. Ushers, pay attention. Come on. And so we prayed, and see, we always talked about adopting kids. It was always the thing that we talked before we were married. How many of y'all know you agree to a lot of stuff before you're married? Tell the truth. Before you were married, you agreed to a lot of stuff. Yeah, you didn't know what you were agreeing to, but I brought it up, and she prayed. She heard God. She said, yeah, because I always said I wanted to adopt. And so so we went home, and really within about 2-3 weeks, it wasn't long, we started this process. We said, let's learn what it means to adopt kids. Little did we know the journey we were on. So we found ourselves an adoption agency. I don't know if you know you're an adoption agency here, but we found a real adoption agency. And we said, okay, now we got to get trained, and we got to get prepared. So we went to 30 hours of training on how to be parents. I want to let you know, we already had 3 kids. I want to let you know that overall, they were pretty normal, okay, overall. And they're pretty normal, and we looked like we were doing pretty good. We were keeping them alive at this point. Come on. And they were eating. They were well-fed. That was the goal. And they were good. But they sent us to 30 hours of training. I remember coming back from some of the trainings and thinking, why on earth are we doing this? Because they tell you about every worst-case scenario. And we're like, every worst case, this is like, oh, this is special. And we're wondering why, but I'm going to tell you why. Because at the time that this picture was taken, the 9 months of training that we went through, interesting 9 months, we kept looking at their faces of kids that needed to be adopted. See, when you see people and you see their faces, something changes in you. When you see people for where they're really at. At that point in time, there was 2,500 children in the state of Pennsylvania that needed to be adopted. I don't know if you know this or not, but in White Oak, in McKeesport, North Versailles, Elizabeth Forward, I didn't even include Irwin or Glassport or East McKeesport. I just want those. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's 31,410 people that are waiting to be adopted in White Oak and the surrounding communities. How did I get to that number? I took the population, and I took it by 60%. Because in any given survey that you read, only about 40% of people, and I'm being very generous with that, most are saying 25 to 30, being very generous, about 40% of people are actually in church and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So 60% of the people, that means there's 31,410 people in our area that's waiting to be adopted. Why are you going to march in the Memorial Day parade? Why are you going to do that? Because you're going to let everybody know they can be adopted into the kingdom of God. Amen. They're waiting for a forever family. And if we lose sight of people, we're going to turn church into all about us. We're going to turn it into what I like and what I want. And how I like it to be, rather than know, I'm going to do everything I can possibly do to change and be transformed so that we become more like Jesus. Are you with me? Yeah. Because it's not about me, it's about his adoption agency. See, I don't know if you know this or not, like our church doesn't have a mission. Jesus' mission has our church. See, we don't have a cool mission statement. Jesus' mission is us. Like, what does God think about your plans? Let me give you a word from God. He doesn't. Why aren't we thinking about his plans? Why aren't we thinking about what he's thinking about? Are you with me? Let's think about that. Why do we exist? We exist so that as many people as possible can begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers, that they can get placed as sons and daughters and learn to imitate the likeness of God and the likeness of nature. That's what we're doing here. It's a spiritual something we do. We're not here under an intellectual ascent. We're not here for a self-help program. We're not here. We're here because the lonely, the distressed, the captive, the brokenhearted need help. That's why God put this church on the planet. And so Natalie and I, as we looked at kids, we said, okay, 30 hours of training. And then they did a whole deal where they came into our home and they looked in every closet. How would you like right now if we said, Pastor Nick and I are coming over and we're going to look in every closet in your house? How many of y'all would get up and you would take off right now? Come on, you would go home right now. You'd be cleaning those closets out. Come on. Am I right? Yeah, see, everything matters in our lives. That's why we do so many of the things we do, because everything matters. So we had to do references. We had to get references, 20-page evaluations. We had to submit our W-2s. We had to submit all of our financial records. See, many people are here, and you're saying, why is it about finances? I don't know if you know this or not, but adoptions cost money. Why do we give on a regular basis? Because adoptions cost money. I want you to catch this. Why do we give financially so that more people can be adopted? Adoption is all about people becoming adopted. It costs money. There's fees. There's efforts. There's energies that we need to do. Are you with me? Why are we sending a whole bunch of kids to youth camp and Kingdom Builders, and we're raising money to send kids to camp? Because we want them to be adopted. Why do we send people to Honduras and Guatemala? Why do we do that? Why do we do all those things? Because adoptions cost money. And we want more people to be adopted into the kingdom of God. See, if we don't remember these things, it's going to become all about, I'm just paying my dues here. My finances, my marriage, everything matters because I want people to be adopted. So we had to have a conversation with our three kids. And our three kids, we had to tell them, listen, there's going to be less gifts for you at Christmas time. There's going to be less gifts for you on your birthday. We had to tell them, when new kids come into our home, everybody's going to care about the new kids and nobody's going to be looking at you. It's preparing you for parenthood. Some of you will get that later. See, many people in this room right now, we think, well, it's all about new people. I don't like that. What about me? I've been paying my dues. Soon as you put dues on your tithe and giving, you're lost. You're done. Obligation, you're done. You lost it. No, we're excited about new people. I mean, who doesn't get excited about a new baby? I mean, you could be an ogre and still be excited about a new baby. Come on, I mean, are you with me? I mean, the toughest guy, it's like, I don't want to hold them, but they're cool. You know, it's great. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'll send a gift card. You know, come on. I'll do something. Are you with me? See, in every step of the way, all our kids put their hands in the middle because we all had to agree. And what God's saying to us today, are we willing to put our hands in the middle again and agree that we're going to continue to do something for Him? Yes. Are you with me? And so we went through this process, and we went through this, and we had to realize this, that Luke 5:29, Levi, Matthew gave a dinner, and he invited a whole bunch of people, misfits and sinners. How many people can relate to one of those? A misfit or a sinner or both? Come on, raise both hands if both apply. Come on. Am I right? But then the rest of the verses here, 31, and Jesus in red letters here, Jesus heard, he said, who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? He says, I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders. Oh, we got to catch this. He said, an invitation to a changed life inside and out. That's the invitation Jesus has for us. An invitation to a changed life. Even the state of Pennsylvania realizes that for a child to have the best shot at growing up healthy, they need a family. Yeah. Guess where they got that idea? In the Bible. Amen. The Bible has that idea. The Bible contains that idea. This is our inheritance. Everything about the adoption process is found right here. Kids that are orphaned and lonely and misfits and considered thrown out, that when a child gets to be over 3 years old, if they're not placed, they're considered high risk. They're considered nobody wants them. Because everybody just wants little babies. Everybody wants little babies. That's it. That's what Natalie and I wanted. We wanted just little babies. We wanted a couple little babies. But the problem was we kept looking at older kids, and we looked at older kids, and we looked at them and said, man, they need a home too. And so before you know it, we're looking at groups of two and three and four. I mean, we're just like, we're going crazy here. Because we looked at their faces. And so we finally got, we saw, we 9 months of preparation, then 9 months of looking. And every child we looked at, we said, they're potentially ours. They're potentially ours. They're potentially ours. Every child we looked at. See, when you march in that parade on Memorial Day, wonder which one of these are going to be in church and get their lives changed from the inside out. Amen. Oh, see, I don't know which one, but one, it's going to happen. And then people you work with, people that live in your area, people that you go to school with, people that you think are far from God, everyone's like, I don't know which one's going to come, but they're all going to come. See, they're all God's children. I don't know which one's going to sit beside me. I don't even know which ones are going to take my seat. I'm praying they all do, actually. Come on, I'm serious. But everyone's possible. And so we got these, don't predetermine what you can handle. So we got two kids came our way here. It worked out. We sat before a board. Our lives were under a microscope. They asked us a lot of questions. We went home, and they said, we're going to call you later on today to see if they're going to get placed with you. So we're on pins and needles. We are like at home, and we're like, I mean, three kids. I mean, nobody's talking. Do you ever have one of those days where like everybody's just kind of walking around? Nobody knows what to do. And they're walking around. All of a sudden, the phone rings. And they answered the phone. And they said, congratulations. You're now a family of seven. And they said, you can go pick them up on Friday. Our son, Alex, started running around the house. This is going to change our lives forever. This is going to change our lives forever. He was not wrong. Come on, somebody. And see, every time we're here, wherever you are, at church or wherever it is, and you say somebody responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ and you have a chance to come to church here and you're new here, every time somebody new shows up, we're going to run around, this is going to change our lives forever. And it will. But aren't you glad about lives being changed forever? I am. And so they came to live with us, and everything stopped, and they came to live with us, and everybody wants the storybook ending. Everybody wants the kids to show up, and they're, oh, Mom and Dad, I'm just so thankful, you know. Let's pray, you know. It's like, our daughter spent the next 6 years telling us that she hated us. She said, I don't love you, I hate you, and I don't want to be here. It got to be so normal. We would pray every night. We would kneel down. We would pray by her bedside and pray. And every night she would say, I hate you and I don't want to be here. It got to be after a while. I was like, okay. You know, it's like, see, she was learning how to be dependent and submit and trust again. Just like you. Not only that, she bit me more times than you can imagine. See, there's times that you're here at church and you don't bite people physically, but you do emotionally and you do with your words. People are biting one another. People are nipping at one another. You're just learning how to trust God again. I don't like this. Well, you're learning to trust God. It's okay. I've gotten bitten before. I'll get bitten again. So they had to learn how to trust. They didn't eat like us. They didn't smell like us. They didn't... How many ladies know your kids have a smell? Ladies usually realize this. Am I right? Yeah. And when they're not yours, it's like they smell funny. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm serious. And it was a learning process. See, this is why when you come to church here, you smell funny. But once we get used to it, it's all good. Are we good? I'm trying to be real with you. there's a newness. See, we're learning to be dependent. We're learning to trust. We've been positioned, but we're learning. And so we went through 9 months. So 9 months of prep, 9 months of looking. Then when they came to our house, now 9 months, they had to learn how to process and learn how to eat with us. And they had to learn how to do chores with us. Everybody has a job. See, why we want you in a group? Why do we want you on a team here at Bridge City Church? Because that's where family is. Because family is where you get changed. It's not in serving you get changed, it's in family you get changed. Families change people. And we're a family of God that's in the adoption business. And it took 6 years for our daughter to learn how to say, I love you back. I'll never forget, I was in our North Braddock facility, and it was youth group night. She walked down the hall, and she walked up to me. And she said, I love you, Daddy. And she gave me a kiss on the cheek. 6 years. It's taken some of you in this room 6 years to really learn how to trust God and learn how to be embraced and learn about love. It's because you've been adopted, you've been placed, but now you're learning. Are you with me? So we went through 9 months and got to the point where they were going to officially become ours. And I wasn't prepared for what was going to happen, but it happened. We went before a judge and under oath, got to get it right. There was a lawyer in the front row. I had to get it right. Under oath, my wife and I, we had a promise before the judge that any inheritance that our natural children get, our adopted children get. Remember I read to you the full inheritance of the Word of God? See, if you're new here, you get the full inheritance of somebody who's been here 40 years. Amen. And then they went through all the proceedings here. And then after their names changed officially, legally got changed, the judge picked up the gavel, and I was not ready for this. And he dropped it, and he said these three words. It changed my life forever. It really did. He said, it is finished. And I stood there, and tears welled up in my eyes. I said, they are right now. And I'm like, did he just say what I think he said? And he said, it is finished. Where did he get that? Those are the words of Jesus on the cross. For you and me. Are you with me? He said, it is finished. And legally, their names changed, and legally, their lives changed. But then they spent the rest of their lives learning what happened in that moment. When you and I meet Jesus, we don't realize fully what happened in that moment, but we spend the rest of our lives figuring that out. Learn how to live different. Learn how the nature of God. That's why we do church. But I wasn't also prepared for this. They brought a box just like this one. And they took all of their files. I mean, they had files written on them. Stacks and stacks and stacks of their history and things that happened to them. And things that were horrible to them. Things that, like, I don't want to think about, but we read it. And we saw all the stuff that was written against them. And they opened a box just like this, and they put everything in there. I'm watching this happen from like right across the room. And they put it all in there. And they closed it, and they sealed it. And they buried it, I don't know where, but you can't get to that unless there's a legal court order. And so they took the box, like that, and they took their past and they put it in a box and sealed it far away. This is what happens with you and me. God takes the handwriting that was against us, Colossians 2, 13 and 14, the handwriting that was set against you. You're lonely. You're no good. You're abandoned. You're rejected. You'll never be good enough. You're a misfit. You're a sinner. Everybody else has a life together but you. And he puts it in the box. He seals it and he removes it, nailing it on the cross. This is what happens, church. And this is what he wants to do with you and me. He takes our past and he places it aside. But then we need to learn how to live without that past. Are you with me? And our kids have been spending 20 plus years learning how to live without that past. It was May 2003 that our lives really changed forever. Those kids came to live with us. And it changed our church. But I just wanted to remind us today, and Pastor Nick, thank you for encouraging me to be reminded today. I appreciate that. Of what happens in this adoption process. Would you stand to your feet with me real quick here? This is a picture of our family, our updated pic. There's one on the way. Little girl's coming. Not a new adopted girl, a grandbaby. Come on, somebody. Any day now. John 1. But all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. I want to ask you a question today. Have you believed and accepted the right to become a child of God? I didn't just say up here believe, but do you believe and accept him as your only hope, your only way? Have you come to a point in your life where you know that you know where Jesus Christ became the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future? Have you been placed as a child of God? Have you accepted his forgiveness? Have you accepted him being your leader? Have you said, God, I have sinned and there's been some really bad things I've done. I've sinned, I've missed a mark. And there's been stuff happened to me, God, but I ask you to forgive me only by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. And if you're here today and you would like today to be your adoption day, maybe you've never done this before, or maybe you did it and this has never clicked. Listen, I just want today to be an adoption day for you. You're saying, I want to be adopted. I want to be a part of the family of God. If that's you right now, right here, in this moment, right here, just right, this is you and God. Eyes are closed. This is you and Jesus right now. This is you and God right now. If that's you right here in this moment, I want you right now just to lift up your hand to God and say, Pastor, that's me today. I want today to be my adoption day. Is there anybody here today that says, you know, I need an adoption day. Today is it. Anybody here today want to be adopted into the kingdom of God? Anybody here? Thank you, God. Thank you, heaven. Thank you, Lord. Well, Heavenly Father, I pray that next week, Lord God, there's going to be many people at the 8 o'clock that are going to be adopted into the kingdom. I pray that next week there's going to be a moment in time where people's lives change forever, Lord God. God, use it and do it, Father. Continue to use Bridge City Church as an adoption agency for you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hey, you can be seated. Thanks for being so great. Pastor Nick, thank you as well. Larry, come on up and finish us up today. Thanks.